Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Dr. Jackie Black with me today, and she is a relationship expert, marriage educator, and board certified coach to couples. She has worked with 1,000 couples in 8 countries over the last 35 years. Fun fact, Dr. Jackie was named Cosmo as one of the most beloved international love gurus. Dr. Jackie helps couples who are crazy busy entrepreneurs and professionals and make every day feel like they're on their honeymoon. She has been a guest expert on podcasts, radio shows, and on virtual platforms all over the world, and is an author of Cracking the Code series of relationship-focused books. Thank you so much, Dr. Jackie, for being here today.
It is my pleasure. I'm so excited to be with you.
Likewise, and I can't wait to dive into your journey. But before we do, I would love for you to explain too, like how you got here today and what's been your process of being a relationship expert and what that's been like, and then we'll go from there.
So I spent a number of years in corporate managing high-rise office buildings for pension funds, and found my way I met some people in the grief and loss world, and I wrote a grieving book that I couldn't get published because I didn't have a PhD. And on that journey, somebody said to me, "You really are such a talented person in terms of relationship work." I was doing some peer support and stuff. "You really should get your PhD." And I was like, "Oh my God, I have an MBA from SC and I was in corporate." And it was like, did I really want to do this? But I did. And then I really started seeing people who were grieving and people who were ill, and morphed into doing couples work because people who were ill had partners and family members, and sometimes partners had lost their other half, if we can say it that way. And then in 1999, I met a coach on an airplane from LAX to Dulles who changed my life. You know, it was, as I went down the people mover in those years at that airport, it was like, who was that guy and what just happened? Mm-hmm. And when I got back to LA, I did some research and I found the International Coach Federation and some coaching folks and started hanging around with coaching people, and ultimately decided to go to coaching school. To become a coach. So I went to 3 different coach training organizations until I really found one that the Relationship Coaching Institute, David Steele, and he really focused on singles dating and advanced partnership coaching. And I knew I was home. And that was 1999. And I've been doing it since then.
Oh, I love it. What a journey too. And I would love for you to, because you are an expert with relationships and my background is marriage and family therapy as well. So I love just understanding it from a different perspective too. What has been your experience working with all these couples? Is there anything that you see as a common thread through the couples that you work with?
Yes. Let me take 1 minute and explain the difference between couples therapy and couples coaching. Couples, the therapy model, I've been a coach since 1999, and there are many, many, many wonderful therapy models that have been birthed, we'll say it that way. But at that time, the therapy model was really, who is the problem? And when we fix the person who is the problem, the relationship will be fine. Well, nothing is further from the truth. That's why in those years, marriage therapy was so unsuccessful. And coaching is really about four couples, four individuals too, but four couples. Where are you? Who are you and who are you? Where do you want to go together and how can we get you there? So we don't look for the problem. We look for the strengths. We look for your natural abilities and your skills and your talents, your life experience. And we figure out where you want to be. What is the outcome of the work that we're doing together? Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's a secret. I was actually working with couples in that way. Anyway, I had been walking the edge of the plate, as we used to say, and not doing a real traditional kinds. It never made sense to me to look for the problem. It's like, here are two people who really love each other and who want to try to figure this out. And I always say that the people that groom my dog, I mean, they have a license. They have more training than any of us ever have for relationships. And love is not enough. Mm-hmm. Right? Love is not enough. I was delivering a presentation in a school, and I was up on the mm-hmm. stage,
yeah,
behind a dais, and somebody jumped up and waved their hand in the Dr. Jackie. I didn't want to come. My wife dragged me, but you know what? I'm glad I came. And I like everything you're saying. Here's the thing: if I knew how to do it, I would happily do it because it all makes sense to me. And that moment changed everything for me. And my strength as a marriage educator and a coach is to help people learn, practice, and master couple-specific skills and tools and strategies and attitudes and behaviors so that they can have the thing that they want to have emotionally together, mentally together, physically together, sexually together, financially together.
Yeah. No, you are absolutely right. And I think too, it's looking at what's this, instead of looking at a problem, being able to really look at like, what are the strengths? I love that. And I am a firm believer in that as well, because that's what's going to help people grow as a couple. I'm curious, what are some of the tools that you use with the couples that you work with?
And you did ask, what are some of the common problems? A lot of the common problems are people start living like friends. And it's like sex has wings and flies out the window.
Yeah.
Some of the other problems are people don't feel heard, mm-hmm. right? Partners don't feel heard and they get disconnected or alienated. They don't feel heard and then they don't feel loved. They lose that cozy, warm, yumminess that they should have from an open-hearted, vulnerable place. Right. They argue about money. Mm-hmm. Money is a big one. That's my second book was Couples and Money, Cracking the Code to the Number One Problem in Marriage. Mm-hmm. And when people say communication, I don't think it's about communication. And I've always said that. We talk all day long. When we talk to our partners, mm-hmm. for me, it's really about coming from an open, vulnerable place and telling our truth. That's terrifying. Yeah. Because we don't want to be judged. We don't want to be ridiculed. We don't want our partners to think that we're silly or, you know, there's a list of things. Mm-hmm. So it is not communicating. It really is. It is sharing from a vulnerable place. It is saying the things that are true for us and asking for what we need and want. There's this whole misunderstanding about needs, which are legitimate. And the idea of neediness and everybody should be independent. You know, the really yummy sex that couples have is not based on each person's independence.
Right.
And not being independent doesn't mean being dependent, but there needs to be a mix so that couples are interdependent.
So well put. And you're right. You know, I just want to touch on what you said about communication, because I do agree with you. I like how you reframe that of the vulnerability and being open, because a lot of people are like, well, I'm communicating, but it's a lot of times not being understood or not being able to really vocalize what's going on internally. I know I see this a lot just with people in my circle or also clients, but being able to really be vulnerable and say your truth is so important. But it's also receiving too. So I'm curious, when you work with couples, what does that look like when people are openly sharing and maybe if they're receiving it or not receiving it? the partner?
There are a couple of rules. There are models that I use for senders, the person who is speaking, and receivers, the person who is listening. And years ago, in fact, from this presentation I was just talking about, I developed a listening model for men, for husbands, right? Because husbands want to listen. They want to fix it. They want us to feel better. And there are really three things that we all need to listen for. One is feelings, and that's often missed by husbands. We have to listen for feelings, listen for information, and listen because we're going to be asked to do something at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And once people understand that listening is a skill, and deep and elegant listening can be learned, then people come to conversations differently, with the ability to understand how important it is to be empathic, right? Not just focus on the details of the content, but to be empathic. Gosh, when I hear you say that, it must feel so hard. I can imagine that would be very scary for me, right? Make an empathic connection. And that is one of the key pieces that is almost always missing in the communication of a couple that has lost their way.
No, thank you for breaking that down too, because I think that's so important. It's not the fine tuning, but it's really just the energy that's created around there, that space. And that's what I'm hearing from you as well. And I'm curious. So like kind of on the flip side with making sure that the couples feel like they're on a honeymoon all the time, what are some of the things that you've seen really help your couples that you work with and really getting that, not communication, but just creating those spaces of vulnerability and feeling connected to one another?
There's a foundational piece that I invite couples to step into, and that is that we are in this relationship with good intention and goodwill, that I hold your feelings as important as my own, that anything that gets in the way of our intimacy, it is each of us as individuals, it is our responsibility to handle that, to manage that, whether it's health or hygiene or money or family, it can be a whole list of things, so that nothing is in the middle of our ability to connect with each other. So that's the first piece. The second is to stop asking questions. I know that sounds so. Stop asking questions. The way to practice stepping in and showing up and to speaking from your truth is to say, I love a salad tonight. What do you want? Because usually people will say, I don't care where we go. I'd like to go to dinner. I don't care where we go. Where do you want to? Oh, I don't care. It doesn't matter. What do you want to eat? Oh, I could eat anything. That's abdicating and it's hostile. Right? I'm going to say that again. That's abdicating and it's hostile. Each partner has a responsibility to step in and step up and be an active participant in the energy of the relationship. So you can't ever abdicate. There is no such thing as I don't care. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. Yes. So that's the first thing. I message feedback. I think, I need, I want, I would prefer, I don't like. Not happy about this, not crazy about that. I tell your partner about you specifically. You're in a relationship with a person. And my assumption is with all couples, and I say this to couples, is you want to be deeply known by your partner. The only way your partner can deeply know you is for you to show up and be seen and be heard and to share your thoughts, your wants, your likes, your dislikes, your hopes and your dreams, your fantasies, your fears, not all at the same time. But in conversations, I have three levels of conversations I teach couples. First, personal reflection, then couples reflection is the first kind of type of conversation, and then couple talk, and then couples dialogue. And those are specific structures for different kinds of conversations.
Yeah. I love that you have the different levels too. Could you break those down like a little bit, just like snippet of each one?
Personal reflection is really important. And there's not a lot of focus on personal reflection in a lot of places in life anymore. Mm-hmm. And personal reflection is actually going inside and talking to yourself, asking yourself how you think about this. How have you experienced that? Is it a good fit? Does it match? What's missing? personal reflection. Mm-hmm. Around a specific issue or ask, then there's a couple's reflection, and then you share your personal reflection with your partner, and then the couple does some reflection about where they are and where they want to go relationally. Perhaps there's a vision that they are holding, or there's a problem that they're solving, or a dynamic that they want to bring some shift to. So that would be couple's reflection. Mm-hmm. Couple talk is it's a lighter, more open, casual kind of communication. Still iMessage feedback based, mm-hmm. but it could be at night over a cup of tea, or on the back porch in the morning over a coffee, or on a walk, even if you're walking the dog. So it's a leisurely, very personal, but it's a more casual relationship structure. Couples dialogue is a very formal, very serious structure that couples come to, not to problem solve, but when they're being missed or misunderstood, or when there's an upset, that we come to couples dialogue. So for example, there's a space between you and me, this space. This is relational space. This is sacred space. So in couples dialogue, each of the partners steps into relational space, into that sacred space, for the exclusive purpose to be known. And then after, at the end of that, both people may do that. One person may, they'll take a break and come back. Or it might just be one person. It can be whatever the couple needs or wants at that moment around that issue. Then there's a second scheduled conversation to problem solve. But in couples dialogue, it is never to problem solve. It is really for the purpose of being known. And then there are ground rules for each of these conversation structures.
Oh, I love that. I think too, it just like really brings home to the differences of what the conversation is and what's needed during that conversation, whether it's very minimal versus very serious and in between that too, and having that continuum of conversations and knowing that and having that awareness with your partner too, I think just really, I guess it really solidifies the relationship too, of being able to have that conversation, but being able to move forward, whatever is going on in that moment too.
It does promote closeness. All these things are key to promoting closeness. And again, I just want to say, love is not enough. People can be deeply in love, passionately in love, and to negotiate the day-to-day living in the same space and dealing with whatever comes up, even if there aren't any problems, we still have to negotiate with each other. And I don't mean negotiate in the way that we talk about compromise. I don't believe in compromise. But we have to figure out who's going to do what, or what do I want, and what support might I need from you, or what else might I need from you, vice versa.
Yes. No. And you brought up a good point. I kind of want to touch a little bit when people are maybe looking for their partner. What are some things, because I agree, it's not just love. I think there's so many other factors, but like when somebody is like looking for their partner, what are things to look for outside of love, of course, and that connection, but what would you say are really important factors?
I talk about three buckets, if you will, three bigger categories. One is values, one is style, and one is temperament. You want to have a majority, not all, but a majority of values aligned, right? Aligned. So you may hold a value for kindness. It's not one of my five values. I hold a value for integrity. So for me to be in integrity, I am going to be kind. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to be dismissive. I'm not going to be impatient or impolite. So even though I don't, might not hold that same value, you have to look at the values and unwrap them. And there can be a lot of overlay. So values, how do you think about money? How do you spend money? How do you do you have a mindset for earning, spending, saving, investing, building wealth? What are those differences? Are you curious? right? We have to be really curious about what each other is doing and thinking and saying. So values, style. So I tend to be very formal, pretty tightly wrapped. I did a post, this was a funny story. I did a Facebook post right in the middle of COVID. And it was a post about shoes. And I thought nothing of it. And I got so many comments in about 5 minutes. Seriously, who wears shoes? We're not even dressed, we're wearing pajamas. And I was pretty horrified because I always get dressed, always. I always put on my jewelry. I mean, I don't walk out of my bedroom without my jewelry on and I'm dressed. And I got dressed every single moment of COVID as if somebody were coming into my office, including my shoes. It didn't occur to me to not put my shoes on. Okay. All right. So I'm very formal. I understand that, you know, one dresses a certain way for certain occasions or to go to different kinds of restaurants, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, style. Mm-hmm. I may, you know, someone may want to live in the country. It's not about money, but they may be more comfortable in the country or the countryside, or in the mountains, or right in the middle of the city. I live right in the middle of the city because I love the noise and the traffic and the air. And, you know, I'm a city person. I would lose my mind if I were up in the mountains listening to the birds.
Yeah.
So the style. So how do you show up in the world? Mm-hmm. What, right? So this is our outside self. Values tend to be more internally oriented. Mm-hmm. Temperament. There are morning people and evening people and afternoon people. And you might not be able to talk till you have coffee in the morning. Everybody says I open my eyes and my mouth at the same time.
You're ready.
I'm ready. I'm engaged. I open the blinds. I look out. I enjoy the people in the view. I love my walk. So you really have to decide. I would never, if I were dating, I wouldn't date anybody who liked the beach and wanted to snorkel and scuba dive and jet ski and regular jump. I mean, why would I do that? Camp. Oh, I would never date anybody because I would be a weekend camping widow. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. See what I'm saying? So yeah. I love flea markets. Oh my God, I love flea markets. And I love, lattes in the afternoon. So temperament is very, very important. So when people say, oh, I love him, oh, I love her, and there are all these differences that are clashing, they always say, well, what is it that you love? Has a warm, wonderful heart. And beyond that, how do you spend an afternoon? Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you something, value, style, and temperament, when they are aligned, is like the mortar between the bricks in a relationship. Yes. It is the stuff that makes you feel comfy and cozy all the time, just being in each other's presence. It's the stuff that gives you resilience when your feelings are hurt.
Well put. And I'm curious because you just sparked a thought for me. A lot of times people say, oh, opposites attract. And I feel like that completely is negated when we're talking about every aspect that you were just talking about too, with the values, the temperament, and the style, all three of those. So if you could speak a little bit to like opposites attract, and then I have.
Yes, I know that it is a very, very old saying, and I have no idea what they were referring to, because as we were just talking, so you really are looking for alignment.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure what that means, and I don't recommend it unless you're opposite in some way that isn't a game changer or a deal breaker, in some way that you can... that you can enjoy each other and appreciate whatever is different. Because you bring up a good point, differences can be a problem. And one of the things that we have to do is to enjoy and value, appreciate, and respect differences. Mm-hmm. If there's a difference that you have a real problem doing that with and you just can't seem to do it, that is a deal breaker. because there are going to be differences. The thing that you're sorting for, if you will, is can I live with this difference? How much does it negatively impact me or affect me or influence me? Mm-hmm. There will be differences.
Yes, absolutely. Because I wanted to bring that up too, because I think what we were talking about earlier too, love is not everything. And being able to recognize that too, where you might really love somebody, but their alignment is off with yours. The things that actually matter that will make a difference long-term to have successful relationships, marriages, and things along those lines. So I'm curious, what has been maybe one of your success stories of working with clients that you just maybe you weren't sure if they were going to work out and they just really thrived after having your coaching?
I worked with a couple many years ago that were having huge money issues. Mm. And it wasn't that they didn't have enough money. They had a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he was constantly irritated by how she was spending money and what she was spending money on and wanted to put the kibosh on things. And she was like, whoa. I mean, they were both professionals and earning a lot of money and both had a lot. I mean, it was just like, she was not going to have him tell her not to buy another pair of shoes. And one day he said, why do you need so many shoes? You know, you need a pair of tennis shoes and a pair of thongs and a pair of flats and a pair of heels. And what is the problem? And she was always very lovely about it. They were very respectful. There was, mm-hmm. you know, no bad behavior, mm-hmm. if I could say it that way. Yeah. So I sent them away to do homework. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to make two lists. The first list was all of their necessities. And the second list was all of their luxuries. Mm-hmm. And not to share the list with each other until the next week. So they came in the next week. And everything on her necessity list was on his luxury list. Mm. And he really wanted to invest. He believed that investing for their future was very important. And he held a mindset for investing. And I said to him, have you ever asked her what her thoughts were about investing? And he was very sheepish. And he said, no, I never did. So he said to her, what is your mindset about investing? And she said, I have no idea what that even means.
Wow.
So mm-hmm. I said, do you have a story you can share about shoes? And she laughed. She said, yes. She said her parents both worked. Her father was a doctor, and they both worked in his office as the three sisters were growing up. Mm-hmm. And there was a grandmother, there was an aunt. I mean, there were wonderful people in the home with them, but the mother always felt guilty because she didn't spend enough time with them and would shower them with gifts. If something happened, let's go shopping. If something good happened, if something bad happened, if something sad happened, it was always, let's go shopping. Mm-hmm. And so shopping was really a way that she made herself feel better, that she celebrated things that were going great, that she would spend fun time, close time with people she cared about. Mm-hmm. And so it really wasn't, I need another pair of shoes. It was just the idea of shopping was this way of life. Yeah. And in a way that she expressed herself and enjoyed herself. Mm-hmm. And so the short version of this story is he had the conversation with her about investing. He taught her about investing. They started investing. She was so excited about it. And she chose to spend some of the shopping money, a lot of the shopping money, investing because she loved doing it with him. She saw the value of it. She was excited and she really liked it for herself so she could add investing to shopping.
Ah, what an incredible story. And it goes back to like, just not assuming and listening to understand and having that dialogue between the two to really understand the different perspectives, because we're all coming from a different place, our worldview, how we grew up, all the factors, past relationships. Yeah. And I know you know all this, but that's what just like triggered my thoughts too, of just how, if we don't even ask the questions, how do we know? And it's beautiful that that question sparked such a connection for them too, to really work together on in that investment as well, to really understand it.
Yeah, a similar thing happened to me with my late husband. So Gary loved football. And like most women in at least the US, you know, a curtain falls and we're not even in the room when there's a football game on. And he said something about, we were dating, and he said something about a football game. And I went, okay. He said, one football game, spend one football game with me. And if you don't love it, I mean, love it, I'll never watch another game. And we weren't engaged or anything. We were just dating. And I was like, okay. I said, well, we'll do it. So we did. It was a Steeler game. I'll never forget it. And I loved it. He talked through the entire game. He talked about the plays and the calls and the players and who did what and where they came from. And he knew all of the stats and the facts. He made it very human. I loved it. And I became such a big football fan that on holidays, like Thanksgiving, I would call people to find out if the game was going to be on or who was going to be there for Super Bowl, because a lot of times people are there and they're too busy eating and drinking and they don't want to watch the game. Well, we watch the games. So, and he used to laugh at me because I really became like the football person.
Oh, I love that. You know, it's the opposite with my boyfriend and I, because I'm a huge Green Bay Packers fan. I was born into it.
So was my late husband, Mark. Mark was, I'm twice widowed. And so Gary was my second husband and Mark Grody was my third husband. Mark was a Packers fan. So I had to say goodbye to the Steelers and become a Packer fan.
Understandable. Yes, I'm a diehard, but you're right too. It's again, that like being able to explain things for really people to see it from another side of it. And that's exactly what I'm hearing from you. And it's amazing to create that dialogue, to create that space for people to see that and being open to it. I think, and you talked about that as well, being open to hearing it, being open to receiving what's going on in somebody else's world, even if you're not a fan of it or whatnot, but just being able, where the difference is, it's okay sometimes, but being able to understand it.
Exactly. And appreciate it. Appreciation is a really lovely experience. It's a behavior.
It absolutely
adds, right? Adds a lot of richness.
Oh, it absolutely does. So I have one more question before we get into the rapid fire questions, but what are some tips that you can give couples right now that are maybe going through a tiff or not in that honeymoon stage, if they're almost ready to work with you, but maybe not quite yet?
The first thing I would say is to stop asking questions and to really start sharing with your partner what you need and want, what you think. Little things, you know, about I'd love a sandwich, or I'd love to do this, or that sounds fun to me. What about you? Where it's low risk. So to really start stepping up. And to start spending more time together. So if your partner is in the garage tinkering at his bench, go in and hang out for 15 minutes and watch and just talk and just say, I'm just missing you. I'd like to hang out for 15 minutes. I won't touch anything. You know, the same thing if you're in the kitchen, your husband can come in or your partner can come in and just pull up a chair and hang out while you're doing dishes. And it's not about helping. It's about spending time doing the things that you already do. And you're just doing it together. Bring a surprise home, a favorite ice cream or favorite fast food or a bag of cookies that you know somebody would love, you know, or a little bag of cookies. But do something. If he always takes the trash out or walks the dog, take it out for him one time or go with him when he walks the dog. Tell her that you're going to take the kids to your mother's for breakfast and she can sleep in and you'll meet her for lunch or you'll meet in the park at 11. You know, little things, little surprises. And the more you can do these little surprises, it's an investment. Think about it like putting money in the bank. So you really want to invest in your partner and in your relationship, and say something loving to your partner every day. Do you know how much I love you? Have I showed you that today? Yeah. I see how much you do around here, and I don't think I tell you enough. Oh, I'm so glad you're home. I miss you today. I thought about you a few times, and I'm so glad you're here. Mm-hmm. Right? Simple things, mm-hmm. even if you're a little bit closed off, even if you've been hurt, as long as you're still in the relationship, whether it's a relation, a committed relationship or a marriage, as long as you're still there, you have an obligation and a responsibility to show up and then see what might happen. And I'm telling you, it's a game changer. These little things, game changers.
So well put. Again, I just appreciate all the wisdom that you've been sharing with us. but I know we have to go soon, but before we do, we're going to just dive right into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
I'm ready.
Okay, awesome. So the first question is, who is your hero?
My grandmother. Oh my God, my grandmother was the best. She was kind and sweet. She was interesting. She was a wonderful conversationalist. She was amazing. I love the way she loved me, and I was very lucky to have my grandmother into my 50s.
Oh, grandmas are the best. what motivates you to work smarter?
So I'm on a mission. I really do want couples to feel like every day is their honeymoon. And so that's what my impetus, that's the sort of fire in the belly, if you will.
Oh, I love it. Well said. If you were a superhero, what power or powers would you have?
I would have the power to help everybody have clarity. They would be clear about their issues. Mm. They'd be clear about the solutions. And they'd be clear about the life lessons they were learning.
Oh, that would be an amazing power.
I know, right?
Yes, it'd make everything just go away and you'd be able to have tunnel vision of what the issue is and that clarity. So if you were to share a meal with four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
It would be my daughter. We're all foodies. My daughter and my daughter-in-law, my son and Anthony Bourdain.
Oh. That would be a really good meal. Lovely. So if you were to think of anything that you've done in your life, what has been the most daring thing you've done?
Get divorced. That was the most daring. That was the hardest and one of the most painful things. To actually do that, to take the action and do that.
It does take a lot of courage, but doing what's best for the future.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing your vulnerability. What is the phone app that you use the most?
Clubhouse.
That's right.
I love Clubhouse. Yeah.
It is amazing. what is the last book that you've read?
Brené Brown's new book, Atlas of the Heart.
Oh my gosh. I'm reading that right now.
She's my second hero. I think she's amazing, and I resonate so deeply with everything she says. I just think she's fabulous.
She is. She absolutely is. She's my absolute favorite author ever. I've read all her books. what is your favorite family recipe, if you have one, traditionally or that you make together?
My grandmother's brownies.
Ooh. Do they have like a special ingredient in them?
They have a special ingredient, and you have to make them with a fork. You can't use a mix master. So you have to put all the ingredients in a certain way, and you mix them with a fork.
Wow.
They are unbelievable.
I believe you. They sound delicious. I'm like, oh, I could just smell brownies right now. Triggered that memory. If you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality style, what animal would you be?
You know, I had to do a little research about this because nothing came to me intuitively. So mm-hmm. I went to a site. Oh, I was going to remember what it was so I could tell everybody. I don't remember. And I read through all the animals, and I am the fox. Mm-hmm. Let me mm-hmm. just read you this for a minute. It's four lines.
Yeah, please. So
it can take you time to warm up to people, and you're not a huge fan of crowds. You can be a little reserved at times, but once people get to know you, you're a great conversationalist and an overall awesome person to be around. You also have a way of getting what you want. It's all in that wit and charm you possess.
I love that.
So I read them all and I just kept coming back to the fox. I just had such a resonance with the fox. Never thought about it before. So thank you so much for asking that question.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that response. I feel like I learned a little more about you and the fox. Beautiful. So if you're not having the best day, what is something that instantly makes it better?
The sun.
Sunshine.
Yeah, sunshine.
That is good. And if you have a day off, you're not seeing clients or writing or doing anything that you do, what is your favorite way to spend that day off?
Oh, having lunch, a leisurely lunch in an amazing restaurant with friends.
Ooh, that does sound lovely. With the sun.
Yes, of course, with the sun.
So that is the end of the rapid fire questions. Thank you for answering those. But I do have one more question.
Okay.
Where can people find you, hire you? Everything will be linked below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah, you can go to my website at www.drjackieblack.com. And it's at Dr. Jackie Black on Instagram and Facebook and Clubhouse and LinkedIn. So, but if people really want to talk to me, they can go to talktodrjackie.com and just schedule an appointment. I love having time to talk to people. And often I can really pinpoint what's going on, make some suggestions, talk about a skill or a tool or a strategy that might be helpful. So don't hesitate. I know sometimes, you know, we're on podcasts and summits and things, and sometimes people aren't very approachable. So I want to say very specifically, I invite your call. I'd love to talk to you.
Oh, beautiful. Yes, please reach out to Dr. Jackie. She is a wealth of knowledge and can really help in so many capacities when it comes to your love, your relationship. So I firmly believe that as well. So if you could make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Dr. Jackie today? She had so many great tips and strategies and tools that she shared. So please let us know below. I'm sure she would love to see that. Thank you again, Dr. Jackie, for being on here. It was a complete honor to have you.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. It was my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So thank you everyone for watching, and we'll see you on the next video.